All right, with a little bit of delay, good afternoon and welcome to this session which is called Switch on the Light Switch. Thanks for coming, such great numbers. I hadn't expected this for a product like Light Switch, so welcome. So it's my goal in the next 70, 75 minutes to give you an overview of the Light Switch platform. We're going to do a small introduction. And one of my goals with this talk is making you or giving you a bit of understanding whether or not Light Switch is something for you. And I'm sure that some people will leave this room saying, well, Light Switch is absolutely nothing for me. That is very well possible. And it is also part of the goal of this talk. And some other people will say, well, this is something that I can really use to build entire applications in. That's possible. Or perhaps use as part of my development tool, as part of the applications that I'm going to build, even enterprise applications. And other people will say, well, Light Switch is not something that I will use, but it will be something that's interesting for this guy in my company or at the customer who builds small things in Excel. And so that is something that I want you to give with this session, an overview, what you can do with Light Switch, and also if it is something that will fit in your development toolbox. All right? So let me first start by introducing myself very quickly. So my name is Gilles Kleren. I'm a Microsoft Regional Director, an RD, here in Belgium, and a Silverlight MVP. So Light Switch is also Silverlight, as we'll see later. So it is part of my expertise. I work at Ordina, which is a large consultancy firm here in Belgium, where I do mostly Silverlight and ASP.NET development. I'm a regular speaker. I was just talking with the person there behind the booth, whether or not it's my fifth or my fourth time here. So many people I know already here in Belgium. And I've also a user group that I do together with Peter Gijsens. That's Viezig. We are at the Ask the Experts area. So if you have any questions regarding the user group, please feel free to come by. I've written a book on Silverlight as well, which is called Silverlight 4 Data and Services Cookbook. And the final thing I want to show you is my blog, as well as my email address. So I will be uploading all the slides and the demos to my blog later today. So you can download everything from there. And I've also put up my Twitter there. So if you want to follow me, spam me, whatever, just add me. That's at Gilles Kleren. All right. We have a lot of things to cover. So I've actually divided the presentation in two large parts. First, we're going to do a small introduction that's going to take 5 to 10 minutes, in which I'm going to tell you why Microsoft introduced a tool like Light Switch. And then the first part, which will take about 15-20 minutes, that's going to be the basics, what you need to know to get up and running with Light Switch. And those basics are data, screens, and queries. And we finish off that first part by giving you a very small basic demo. Basically, we won't be adding any code yet. We'll do that in the second part. And so in that second part, we're going to take a deeper dive in Light Switch. I'm going to give you an overview. We're going to take a step back, actually, to those basics again. We're going to do a deeper dive in data, in screens, and in queries. We're going to take a look how we can code Light Switch, how we can enable security, what types of security that are supported by Light Switch, also how we can deploy Light Switch applications, and we're going to finish off by taking a look at extensibility of Light Switch. And I'm also going to, during the talk, highlight you where Light Switch is extensible. There are many extensibility hooks, extensibility points, and I'm going to show you them when we go through the slides. All right? So we have a lot of things to cover, so keep your questions until the end of the talk. I wouldn't see any hands going up either because I actually need sunglasses here. So all right, let's get to it. A good question is, what and why Silverlight? Light Switch, sorry. Yes, I'm always doing Silverlight, so I might make the mistake a few times. So what and why Light Switch? First, to answer that question, it's a good thing to take a look at who is targeted by Microsoft to build applications with LightSwitch. And there's actually three areas that I see that where LightSwitch can really be useful. The first is the non-developer. So while all of us, almost all of us, I think, are technical people, we often tend to forget that not everyone is a developer, sadly enough. So they are not all technical. However, in your company, at the customer, you may know a person that is probably a business person, perhaps like a small CEO or something, that is technically savvy enough to build small things, perhaps in Excel, in Access, SharePoint even, with some VBA code and stuff like that. So they build small applications. The problem is that the first guy builds the application in Excel in his manner, and another guy builds it entirely different. And when a consultant needs to come by to do some maintenance on that, it's totally different every time. And no one actually knows how it was built. So that's a big problem. Now, I see LightSwitch being a good platform for those people because it will help creating consistency in the applications that are built by non-technical persons. So for the non-technical person, I really see LightSwitch as being a good tool. Now, I'm happy that not everybody is leaving, because I'm just saying that, because then you might think, it's not for me as a technical person. Well, no, that is certainly not the case. For the technical developer, for the developer just like us, I see LightSwitch as being a very useful tool in two aspects. How often doesn't it happen that we have to build a small data entry application? Small application, and we as developers, we immediately start by thinking about an architecture, and I'm going to set up my data access like this, and I'm going to build up my screens with that pattern. And before we've actually written a line of code, the budget is already gone. I think that is something that we all know. Now, the customers mostly don't like that. My customers, at least, they don't. So for those kind of projects, I think LightSwitch is a good solution. Because out of the box, I get a platform on which I can build easily business applications. Behind the scenes, and we'll see that later on, there's a lot of good code being generated. It is Silverlight code, it is built with MVVM patterns, and it relies on WCF service for its data entry to the database. That's first for developers. The second thing that I see where LightSwitch is useful is, you may say, well, I never build small applications. The only thing I build is huge enterprise applications. So LightSwitch is nothing for me. Well, that is absolutely not true. In almost each enterprise application, you have at some point some dumb data entry screens, administration screens that have to be built. Things like countries, they have to be managed as well. Huh? There's a new country being formed every few weeks. So those tables need to be managed as well. So in that aspect, I see LightSwitch as part of your tool, not to build an entire enterprise application, but to build a small part of it. So for example, the things like administration screens. So to summarize, three places where I see that would benefit from a LightSwitch application: the non-technical person, the developer who wants to build something quickly, and the enterprise developer who needs to build administration screens and reasonably easy data entry for example, the tables like countries. All right? So in the end, what is exactly LightSwitch? Well, it is a tool or a platform to build line-of-business applications with ease. And one of the nice things is that the applications that we build can be deployed on the desktop, so just as a standalone application, a Silverlight out-of-browser application, or in the cloud or on the web. And during the development, there is no thing that we have to keep track of what we're doing. Just in the end, when we're deploying, we say, we deploy to the desktop or we deploy to the web or the cloud. There's nothing that you have to keep track of. And when we build light switch applications, building the application is really not different from building other applications. First, you start by defining your data. So we actually start by defining the data entities. And on those data entities, we define several screens. And I'm going to do that in the demo in just a few minutes. And at that point, we already have a working application, a working line of business application, allowing me to do data entry, updating, and so on and so forth. Light switch takes care of the nasty details. Things like concurrency, transactions, they are managed by light switch platform. Remember, in the back, it is just Silverlight code with MVVM and WCF RIA services. So if there is some maintenance on that code that has to be done many years later, it is just generated code that actually looks really good. That first starting point is certainly doable by a completely non-technical person. Just as a test, I tried this weekend, and I'm absolutely not lying, if my girlfriend could actually build an application like this, and it actually succeeded. So it's really easy to build applications with LightSwitch in that way. Some people are saying, she is not technical. Certainly not. Then, the second step in the iteration of building the applications is refining the application. Refining the application is, for example, building business rules, validations. All those things are reasonably easy to implement in LightSwitch because the tool generates code and generates locations where you can add your business rules. I'm going to show you that in just a second. So this is perhaps the work of a developer, but is in many cases still doable by a reasonably non-technical person. And then the third block of building an entire application is extending the application. Now, extending the application is development work. It certainly is. It has to be done by a developer. For example, we can build custom controls in LightSwitch, and they are, in fact, Silverlight custom controls. So there's nothing really special going on. It's just Silverlight code that you plug into your LightSwitch development environment. Now, Microsoft also hopes that by the time that LightSwitch will be final, which is, I hope, somewhere later this year, but I'm not really sure when it's going to be final. At this point, we're at beta 2. But they hope that there is going to be an entire ecosystem of components that we can just download and plug into in our LightSwitch environment. All right. So that's about it for the first introduction. Let us now take a look to the basics. The three basic parts of a LightSwitch application are data, screens, and queries. Let's start by taking a look at basic number one, data. Well, data is in fact the heart of the application. Everything you do in a LightSwitch application, you do around data. So you start by defining your data if you are building a LightSwitch application from scratch. So, for example, I'm building an ordering system. I'm going to start by entering or creating an order entity and an order detail entity. I can do so entirely in LightSwitch because LightSwitch manages a SQL Server Express database as its internal database. So in that database, I just place my entities that I want to manage inside of my application. And so LightSwitch manages that database entirely. Why am I emphasizing that? Because LightSwitch can also connect to an external database. It can connect to a SQL Server database, for example. So you can have inside of your application both an internal database with your orders and your order details, and also a connection to an external database, for example, that contains the products table. And you can link these two. You can create links, of course, between your between the tables inside of your internal database, but you can also create links between tables in the internal and the external database. So, for example, order details are related to a product. You can create a link between the internal and the external database. That's very well possible. And when you describe your data, it is vital for your application, for your LightSwitch development environment, that you define your data as well as possible, or as extended as possible. Because based on the data, LightSwitch will do a validation. It will also implement things like concurrency and transaction and so on. LightSwitch can connect to an external database, like I just mentioned. That can be that is just possible with the SQL Server database. An external database on the network, doesn't matter why. It can also connect to a WCF RIA service. So if you have an existing WCF RIA service with whatever system in the back, LightSwitch can work with it. It can connect with it. And LightSwitch can also connect to a SharePoint list. So these are the three connections that LightSwitch can do out of the box. This is, however, an extensibility point. If you have another external data system, you can write your own connector for that. So as managed, LightSwitch always has an internal database, a SQL Server file-based Express database, so an MDF to which it can connect. And if you use internal entities, it will place those entities in that internal database. And in that internal database, it can create as many relations as you want. It can create relations between the internal and the external data source, but it cannot manage the external database. It cannot create relations in an externally managed SQL Server database. That is not part of LightSwitch. Okay, the second basic is screens. So once we have defined our data, we can ask LightSwitch, well, generate me a screen for this specific entity. And it will take a look at that entity, take a look at the field descriptions, things like validation rules that you placed in there, and it will generate the screen for you. There are several screen templates, so-called screen templates, available out of the box that you can ask LightSwitch to generate. And it will, in the back, generate XAML, a Silverlight screen, in fact. But you don't actually, if you don't normally, you will not actually touch the XAML code. It's generating that for you based on what you give it as data. After they have been created, you can, of course, tweak how they look. You can change fields of positions. You can change colors if you build some extensions and so. But you can, of course, manage the screens after they have been generated. So it is code generation that is happening here. This is a list. Of possible screens that are out of the box available. So a new data screen, a search screen, a detail that goes in hand with the search screen, an editable grid, and also note your own. This is another extensibility point to which we'll look later on. It is possible to build your own screen templates. And so if you are in need of a specific template, specific type of screen inside of your application, just build it and the users can use it when they build new LightSwitch applications. There is no real drag-and-drop designer available in LightSwitch. You just generate a query based on your data. I'm coming back to queries later on. But you generate a query, and based on that query, LightSwitch generates a hierarchy of the screen. Remember, if you know Silverlight, this is just XAML being generated, and you actually see as a list of icons, let's say, how the screen is going to be managed. And you can customize it from Visual Studio, and you can also customize a screen from the running application. While the application is running, you can also change the layout a bit, and then those changes will be pushed back to Visual Studio. I'm going to show you that later on. And then the third basic is a query. So a query is like the link between the data and the screen, just like any other query. You run a query on your data, and that is actually used in the screen to capture or to get data. All right. So, with that out of the way, let me show you LightSwitch and how we can build a very basic application. All right. So, I'm going to open Visual Studio, of course. By the way, LightSwitch is at this point still free. It is a separate SKU, so you can install, you can download and install it separately, even if you don't have Visual Studio. If you have Visual Studio installed, it will install itself in your Visual Studio version that you already have installed. So, let me go here to New and then Project. I think we all know that. And then, whoops, then we can select between a LightSwitch application, both in C# and VB. Don't choose VB, sorry. There goes my evaluation for some people. No. Of course, you can choose between VB and C#. I'm going to choose, of course, C#. And I'm going to build a small bookstore application in which I can manage books and authors to begin with. So let me call the application bookstore. I'm going to call it number 10 or whatever. It's now generating me, it's executing the template, and here at the right in the Solution Explorer, we now see that we have a folder for data sources and a folder for screens. So we should start by adding a data source. I can select to add a table, which is going to add me a new table in the internal database. I can also choose to add a data source. Let me first show you what happens then. I can connect to the three external data sources I mentioned earlier. So to a database, a SharePoint list, and a WCF RIA service. I'm not going to do that now. We're going to do that later. So first, I'm going to add a table. And so now it has created a table in the internal database of LightSwitch. I'm going to call that table author. There we go. And let's add some fields very quickly. First name, a last name. Then let's say let's add an email address. There we go. Normally you would expect an email address to be of type string. Yeah. Now LightSwitch adds for some types an extra layer which is called a business type. For example, I can say for email address, well, this should be an email address. That is a business type that contains basic validation and formatting already for me. Let's put this to non-required and then add a phone number. And for phone number as well, there is a business type available called phone number. I'm coming back to those business types in more detail later on. So now we have actually defined the entity. Nothing really fancy going on yet. Let's now right-click on Add on Screens and select Add Screen. And now I get a list of possible screen templates, the ones that I showed you just in one of the previous slides. And let's make a very easy sample. We are going to select an editable grid screen. And we're going to select authors as our data. All right, clicking on OK, zooming out. And now we have this screen generated for us. The screen is ready. So you see a hierarchy of how the screen is going to be built up. It doesn't really show you the screen. So you don't really see, like in WinForms, a screen designer where you can do drag and drop. That doesn't exist in LightSwitch. Is everyone keeping track of the amount of lines of code I've written? I think we are at zero. So I'm going to run the application. I'm going to build it. Building at this point takes still some time. It is still beta. It's beta 2, but it goes reasonably well. So there we have it. So this is the shell showing me my first screen. So I can save. This is my navigation there on the left. And then I can start adding authors. I'm going to enter myself. Because of the fact that I used business types here, when I tab out of the screen, automatically validation will trigger, showing me that the email address, just Jill, is not a valid email address. So I have to correct that before I can continue. Let me enter my email address. There we go. And the same goes for phone number. if I start entering an invalid phone number, it's going to automatically give me a validation error as well, as you can see here. And because it is actually a business type, it knows how it should be formatted. So it allows me to have, it automatically creates a small pop-up allowing me to enter the phone number in a correct format. So I'm going to enter a few more numbers here. I think this should be fine. All right, and let's now save that. And we have saved the order. All right? Okay, let's now go back to the application. And let's make it a bit more extended. Let's add another table. I'm going to add books. Okay. What does a book have? Well, a title, which is of type string, a description. It's hard to type standing up straight. What does a book also have? A price. Is it readable? Let me make it a bit bigger for everyone, easier to follow. A price is of type money. That's also a business type that includes formatting like the euro sign, the dollar sign. An image, a thumbnail image or something. Thumbnail image. That's of type image. And, for example, a publication date. And it's going to be of type date time. Let me put these to non-required. And there we go. Now, these are entities that I've created in the internal database. So I have complete control over them. I can say a book is written by one author. Let's just say one author now. So I'm going to click here on Add Relationship. And let me remain zoomed in first. So I'm going to select the relation, create a relation between book and author. And note here at the bottom that LightSwitch also aims at the more non-technical person, showing you or creating a few lines of text explaining what I've just done. So a book must have an author. An author can have many book instances. It's explaining me the one-to-many relationship in a few words. The relationship is visible, as you can see here in the designer. It's showing me that book is linked to author. And let's quickly create a screen for that. Add another screen. For example, a list and details screen for books. List and details screen is like a master details screen for the entity. So let's run that again. All right. So the application is ready. We now have two screens in the application, which we'll see in the navigation momentarily. There you go. So I have a book list detail. I can add a book. Test book. It's going to have a description. It's going to have a price, of course. I can select an image here. There we go. Select a small image. The publication date. Set it to a date. And the author, because of the fact that this is now linked to the author table, allows me to select an author. It's going to show automatically a list box with the available authors. So I'm going to select Jill. By the way, note that it is just using the first name. I'm coming back to that in just a second, but just note it's using the first name. All right. So I can save that, and at this point, I have a working application with two entities. All right. So, as you can see, it is really easy to build applications. Of course, we all think we need to write some code. Let's take a look at the deeper dive in LightSwitch. This was like the first half of the talk. We're not half yet, I think. Okay. So the next 45 minutes, I'm going to do a deeper dive in LightSwitch. And we're going to start by taking a step back. Again, taking a look in some more detail to data, screens, and queries. So, data. It's important that we describe the data in as much detail as possible, because then the screen designer of LightSwitch can include those details or use those details to generate the screen. So business types and even types, like a string or an integer, a short integer, all those things it can use to actually generate the screen. And that brings me to those business types. So business types, as I showed you in the previous demo, are, for example, email, phone number, money. Those are not, of course, stored in the database. They are just stored as a string or as an integer. So they are like an extra layer of validation and formatting on top of the regular SQL Server type of string, of integer. Now, let me show you those in a bit more detail. And we're going to use the same application, but I've already added a few more screens, so you don't have to watch me type. So let's take a look again at the author entity. So the author entity has the email address here, and there are some cool things with all those business types in the properties window. For example, because I'm now selecting, I've selected an email, I can add a default email domain. So if the user enters just the first name, it will automatically append it with the @snowball.be. So that's my domain. Phone number has a dialogue allowing me to select several formats of allowed phone numbers, of correct phone numbers. This, of course, is by default for the US, but you can add your own formatting code here, and you can even test the phone number whether or not it will match one of those predefined formats. So all those things come for free with the business types that you can use in LightSwitch. This is, as mentioned, an extensibility point. You can create your own business types if you have a need for that. For example, some data that is always to be formatted in the same manner. It's easier to wrap that into a business type. Now, there's also something called a summary property. Remember in the demo, I had the list of authors in which I had just my first name showing. By default, LightSwitch uses the first string property of an entity as the summary property. Now, I can create a new summary property in which I'm describing how an entity should look in one line of text. Now, in most cases, these are what are known as a computed property. Let me go back to the demo, so you know that I'm jumping back and forth to explain you something and then show it in LightSwitch. I think that is the best way to learn it. So here at in the entity designer, I can select to add a new computed property. For example, I'm going to call this property full name one, because I already have a full name. And this full name is going to be the concatenation of first name and last name. So I can, my button is falling off the screen. I can now write code. And that's the first time that we're actually going to see us writing code in LightSwitch. Remember, I have that computed property selected. So I'm going to click here and click on the full name one _ compute, which gets generated automatically for me. All right. So there is a full name compute. Note that it is a partial method. When the screens, when the entities, and when the queries are being generated, a lot of code is being generated. Many partial methods are generated on the fly so that when we write our code, it will be called if there is code to be executed. So all the code, let's not say all the code, most of the code will be written in these partial methods. So I can, for example, say result is the result of this dot first name plus a space, plus this dot last name. All right. So this property now, this is a computed property. It's not saved in the database because it's just recomputing that property whenever it wants to show it. I'm going to remove this again because it's already in there. Now, for my author entity, I want this computed property to be the summary property. So let me quickly delete this one and then... No, it hasn't deleted it. Come on. There we go. So this is the author entity. And now, here at the bottom, I can select this property to be the summary property. And now, whenever I run the application, and let me go back to that add book screen. There we go. Loading, loading, loading. All right. So let's go back to this book screen and add a new book. And now here in the list of authors, it is showing the authors as summarized as first name space last name. All right. Let's go back to the slides. Oops. Now, fields can also have a choice list. For example, a gender can be male and female. There's not that many extra choices, I think. So it's useful for, again, validation purposes to use choice lists wherever possible. And also, that is part of that is one type of validation. In many cases, we are going to have to write validation code ourselves. That, of course, requires, again, some coding to be done. Let me show you where we have some coding and some choice lists in this application. Let me first show you the gender. And the gender is a choice list, as you can see here. It has a choice list of male and female. Only these values are, of course, accepted. Now, what if I want to do some more, let's say, advanced validation? For example, the country. I want to be sure that country is filled in. Of course, I can set it required, but assume that we also want to make sure using a validation rule. I can, let me zoom in again, I can write code that is triggering whenever the country property is being validated. So what I have here is, again, a partial method, country underscore validate, that is going to check whether or not the country is empty. And if it is empty, I'm going to add a property error saying that you cannot leave the country empty. And then I can also, for example, set the country to uppercase. All right? Now, if I want to change the screen, how it displays the data. For example, I want to sort my data or filter my data. I have to use a query for that. There's in fact two ways of changing that. As I mentioned in the beginning when we looked at the basics, a screen and data are linked using a query. Now, you can change the screen query, let me say, which then only changes how that particular screen will show its data. But you can also create what is known as a global query, which is then stored inside of LightSwitch and can be used on several screens. Let me show you. So, for example, I have here the ordered authors screen. And the ordered authors screen is, of course, linked to an authors query. Now, I can click here to edit that query. It will allow me to add some sorting and filtering and so on. So here I said, add a new sort by last name ascending. So this is just happening on this particular screen. However, I can also right-click here on a particular entity and say, add me a query. Create a new query, like I did here with the sort by email query. And that sort by email query is a global query based on the authors query, which is like the select star from authors. And then I'm adding a new sort here by email ascending. And now, because this is a global query, I can create a screen on top of that, based on that query, let's say. So I can add a screen, for example, an editable grid, doesn't matter. And I can create that screen based on the results of that sort by email query. And that's exactly what I've done here. Let's run this again. So this ordered authors screen is going to be sorted by, I think, last name. And then the other one is going to be sorted by mail. All right. So I have the authors ordered, that is using the local query. And then I have authors sorted by email, which is using the global query. So the query, we can also hook into that to make changes to how the data is going to be shown on the screen. And we'll take a look in more detail at queries later on. All right. Now, as mentioned, we can connect with an external database. We can work with the internal database, and we can actually work with a combination of two. LightSwitch can fully manage the internal database. The external one, it can only like do it can work with the data, read the data, update the data, but it cannot change the model. It cannot add relations, for example. Let me show you that. So in my application here, I have the application data, which is the internal database. And then I have also, by right-clicking here, added another data source, and that is the publisher's database. And that publisher's database is an external SQL Server database running on my machine here that has countries and publishers. All right? Now, a book has to be written by or published by a publisher. So we can create a link between an entity of the internal database and link it to an external database. And that's exactly what I've done here. So the book entity, I just added another relationship here, and I can now link it to country and publishers, tables in the external database. I've already added that relationship, and you can see here at the bottom, you see that this is now an external one because it uses a dashed line. So the internal ones used a full line. This one uses a dashed line. All right. Let me jump over a few slides here because otherwise we will not get there in time. All right. So let's now take a look at some more information on the screens that we have. As I already said, LightSwitch does not have a drag-and-drop designer to create your screens. You, in fact, generate your screens based on the query. You add a query, and it will generate a screen on top of that. In fact, it's adding it on your data, but it's using the query as the intermediate. So there is no drag-and-drop available. What you can do is use the screen designer to change how the screen looks, let's say. You can add buttons, you can change the position and the order of the fields. You can even remove fields if you don't want them. Let's take a look at the screen designer in a bit more detail. I'm going to close this demo down, and let's open the one on screens, which has a few more screens that we can take a look at. So, let's take a look at the editable authors grid, for example. It's just an editable authors grid, and in my screen designer, I see how the screen is going to be built up. At this point, it has a columns layout at the very top. Then there is going to be a command bar, which is a bar where I can place some buttons in. And then there's going to be a data grid. Now, let's say that I want to also show the authors ordered by email on that same screen. So I can add a data item, and I can say I want to add a new query on this screen, which is then going to be sorted by email query. I now add that query to the screen, and it's going to pop up here at the left. I can edit that query if I want, but I'm not going to do that now. And now, on the very top level, I'm going to add that sort by email query on my screen. There we go. And let's now run this application. Zoom out a bit. Now, what we should have is two columns, one showing all authors and the other one showing the authors ordered by email. I think that is going to be the start screen. Yeah, as you can see, this is now how I've designed my screen. So I can really change my screens with that screen designer. Now, as you see, there is in Visual Studio no real visual preview of what I'm going to get when I do my changes. For that purpose, there is the screen designer at runtime, which allows me to change how my screens look while running the application. And that's really cool. So inside of my running app, when I'm logged in, in debug mode, so not logged in, when I'm running the application in debug mode, I can change how the screen looks, and those changes will be pushed back to Visual Studio after the application exits. Let me show you what I mean with that, because this might be difficult to understand, because I don't think that exists in another type of application. So I left the application running. Let's say that we want to change this again into a rows layout, for example. So I'm gonna design the screen here. You see here the bottom at the very top. I'm gonna click on that, and it's gonna open me the customization mode at runtime. So I get the same layout, again the columns layout here at the left, with the data grid orders and the other one sorted by email query. Let's say that I want to change this into a rows layout. And automatically I get a visual preview of how my changes are going to look in the running application. I can save that. Okay, we see the running application again. And now take a look what happened in Visual Studio. It has incorporated these changes that we made at runtime. So designing your application is more a case of flipping back and forth between running and non-running. And I trap myself at doing the most of the layout work in the customization mode at debug, because that's easier to see what the application is going to look like. All right, let's go back to the slides. Now, what if we want to create a master detail screen? Now, we can create a master detail screen just with the list and detail screen template, but what if we want to create one that spans several screens? What we can do in that particular case is, for example, starting from a search screen, going to a detail screen, and on that detail screen, jumping back to the master detail screen. Bit confusing, I'll show it in just a second. Now, the reason why I'm telling that is that LightSwitch is intelligent enough to keep track of all the entities that have a screen open. So if we already have a book detail of a particular book open, it will not reopen it again. Let me show you. Let's run the application first. And let's start from the, well, let's say search books. Search books. As you can see, these book titles are now shown as a link. I can click on one of these, and I go, of course, to the detail screen of books. But on these, I just added a link back to the author, allowing me to jump back to the author. If I now click back on that book, LightSwitch opens me, as you saw at the top, the tab was open already. It's going to show me that same tab again. So it's really easy to create like a 360 degrees view of your data if you want to span multiple screens with your master detail. You can dig in your data as much as you want. Let me show you how I did this very quickly. So we started from the search books, and we opened then the book detail. And in the book detail screen, I have the author that I added manually as a summary property. This is like the icon for the summary property. And I asked LightSwitch to show this property as a link, targeting the default detail screen. I can even add multiple detail screens for a particular entity. Here I just said take the default one. And in the author detail, I have the same thing. So I have a list of books. I remember the list of books on the author detail screen, which shows me the name of the book, the title in this case. And also that is shown as a link going back to the master of author. All right, so this allows me to create easily master detail screens. All right, Let's take a look at queries. We also already saw queries working, how we could change queries a bit by showing you, showing how we could sort, for example. Now, so there is a query designer allowing me to add filters, add sorting, but when we want to do more advanced stuff like sum or count, the query designer cannot manage those. If you want to do something like that, we'll have to write some code for that. Let me show you how we can work with queries. Separate demo. So in this screen, in this demo, I have a query called filter books on the book entity. Now let's take a look at the filter books query. There we go. Whoops. So there is a filter on this on top of the book query on the select star from queries, where I am going to add. I'm going to search for a particular title. Nothing really special going on. But assume that I only want to return the top 10 or whatever results. I cannot do that from the screen designer. So in that case, I have to write code. So I can click on write code here, and what I can do, let me minimize this a bit. There is a partial method called pre-process query that's gonna be triggered automatically when the query is about to be executed. I'm getting access to that query as type iQueryable, allowing me to add extra parameters to the query before it's being called and executed on the database. So here I'm saying add to that query the take two in this case. It's only going to return me the two top results. So if it's doing a top two on the query on the database, it's not going to do a select star and then capture the first two. It's going to do the optimal query on the database because I have access to my query in the code. This is LightSwitch fully supports link for that, so you can write your link code just as you're used it from other development environments. All right. The next thing I want to show you is a bit more about writing code in LightSwitch. The thing I hope that you've already seen is that we can write code in LightSwitch, and for real applications, I assume you will really have to. But most of the code is going to be written in partially generated methods for you. LightSwitch generates many, many methods automatically for screens, for queries, and for data. So when we want to write a validation rule, or a business rule, or a computation rule, LightSwitch has a particular place for each property of each entity where you can write that. So most of your code, if you don't go really out of the lines of what LightSwitch prescribes, let's say, then you will write your code in the predefined or the pre-generated methods. For example, a good example with which you can really understand what's going on, each screen has a can run. If you know MVVM, that's like the can execute. And that can run is the place where you can check whether or not the user has permission to see that screen. So you can be sure when you write your code in the can run that can run will be called at the exact time at which it's needed. You don't have to worry about calling that method. That's all managed by the platform for you. So there is data events in LightSwitch, events that are triggered or are called when you insert an entity, when you access a particular action on an entity. So when you are doing a delete, can we do a delete? Can we do an insert on that entity? Also on screens, there is an access control method allowing you to check whether or not you have the ability to see that screen. Methods that are called when you click on a button. All kinds of methods that are called automatically for you. Let me show you a bit more in detail about coding. In fact, business rules, validation rules are probably the location where you will write code in most cases, or that's the place where you'll start writing code, I think. Now, not everything requires you to write code. For example, let's take books in this case. Books, please. Okay, this is books. All right. So I have here on my book an ISBN property. If there is, for example, required length, I can still do that, or a minimum length or a maximum length, I don't know. Some things you can do with a designer, but not that many. So for most cases, I will have to write a validation rule. For example, a compute, the one that I already showed you with the summary property full name, I can, for example, have a property called ISBN 13. I don't think it exists, but anyway. And let's say that this is a concatenation of a string plus the ISBN number. I can write code. There we go. So the ISBN 13 compute can be the concatenation of ABC plus the ISBN. So the compute is a partial method that's going to be called guaranteed by the platform when the ISBN 13 property is going to be shown. And also whenever the ISBN changes, it's going to update that. Oops, that's not what I wanted. Let's go back to the entity. For example, let's say publication date. Where is it? Probably a bit higher. Publication date. Let's say that we want to validate the publication date. So we can write code for that. Validate the publication date. It's generated for me. And what I can check, for example, is check that the publication date is larger than today. And if that is not the case, I'm going to add a property error saying that you cannot publish a book in the future. All right? So those are validation rules. Places are available to put your code in. Now, when I want to execute some code, when I click on a button, I can do that as well. For example, the book details screen. Let's take the book details screen. I can add new buttons to the command bar. And I can write code when I click on that button. So I can right-click here and say, add me a button, whatever, my whatever method. And I can right-click on this and say, show me or let me write some code when that triggers when I click on that button. The people who know MVVM, you probably recognize here the execute and the can execute of the I command pattern. That's exactly that is running behind the screen. So we can write code here, and I've done that for this one. I'm going to show you this one. So there is a custom delete method that I've written here, and what I'm going to do here is I'm going to show a confirmation to the user, asking the user if he really wants to delete the book, and if so, I am going to manage the deletion process because I want to insert that confirmation message. So this book delete, this save, this close. All right. So many places are available to write your code in. For most applications, you won't have to go outside of that. Now, what you may be asking, can I write custom screens? Can I build up a screen from scratch and actually have code that hides stuff and shows stuff? Well, absolutely. That's no problem at all. Imagine that you have to build a screen where the user can search for a flight. If he does not want a return flight, why should he be entering a return date? So if he ticks the round trip field there or unchecks it, the return date field should be hidden. Is something like that possible with light switch? Well, absolutely. Let me show you. In the application here, I have a screen called book length screen that I build up from scratch. Let me first run the screen then so you can see it. So this screen allows me to manage who lends out a book from my library. And if it is a guy that I don't trust that will ever return my book, I don't take the effort to actually enter a return date. Let me show you. So the book Land Screen, I have here a checkbox, will this guy return the book or not? If I don't think he will ever return it, why bother entering a return date? So it is possible to do those kinds of things in LightSwitch. To do that, you actually need to write a screen from scratch. And that's what I did here. So this is my book Land Screen that I just added as an empty screen. And I started by adding a rows layout. And in the first row, I'm showing a list of books. Now, how did I get that list of books on there? I can click on Add Data Item, and I can check, I can select, give me the query of all books. And that's automatically going to generate me a combo box with a list of all books. Then I had two date fields and a Boolean. So I just add two local properties. That is, in this case, two date fields and one Boolean. And that's what you see here. That's just the buildup of my screen. And then I have to write some code, of course. Let's zoom out again. And what code do I have here? The most important one is whenever that Boolean field changes, I'm going to find the end date length and set its visibility to the Boolean, the value of the Boolean property. All right. So as you can see, I can do whatever I want with my screens. I'm not tied to only those things that you think of are possible. You can do more exotic things like hiding and showing controls based on selections and entering of data. All right. That's a bit too much. Let's go take a look at security. So security in LightSwitch is really not that different from security in other applications. There is also an authentication as well as an authorization system. The authentication system, there is three options available in beta 2, which are no authentication at all, which is of course not really secure, Windows authentication, and Forms authentication. Now, during the run of your application, the build-up of your application, you can select in the properties of the project which type of security that you want, of type of authentication that you want. Now, you may be asking, how can I enter users in my application? Do I have to build administration for that? Well, once you have deployed the application, LightSwitch automatically generates an administration module for both users and roles, where you can enter users or edit users, update users, and you can also assign them specific roles. And those roles, of course, are linked to the permission system in LightSwitch. And that permission system is, of course, the authorization system. Security with authorization is, in fact, entering a few strings, which are your permissions inside of your application. And in code, you have to enter your, you have to actually check which permissions the user has. And you can manage those via those administration screens. Let me show you those permission and security in action. There we go. So let's take a look at security. Security is, as mentioned, entirely done for you. You don't really have to do a lot for it. I just go through the properties here of my application. This is the properties window. This is it, actually. And I have here access control. And here I can select which type of authentication I want. No authentication, Forms or Windows authentication. That's the authentication part. The authorization part is a list of permissions that I want to check inside of my application. So rights, permissions, that's what I'm going to check. So I have here a can delete book and a can delete author. Now this can delete book, I am going to check whether or not the user can delete a particular book, a book in general, when he wants to delete it. So in the access control method of the deletion of a book, I'm going to check whether or not the user has this permission.
Let's zoom out again and let's go to the book entity. That's this one. And let us write some code. Let me zoom in that you see what I'm doing. I'm going to write code for one of those access control methods, can delete. Click on that. Zoom out. And in this partial method, which again was generated for us, I'm going to check whether or not the current user, which I can access using the application.user, has a permission to delete the book, which is permissions.canDeleteBook. And so in the administration screens, when the application has been set up, I can assign or deny rights or permissions to particular users. And so, as you can see, you don't really have to do a lot of development to do authentication and authorization in LightSwitch. It's all managed for you out of the box. Great. We have two more things to do, and that is deployment and extensibility. I'm going to go quickly over deployment. As I mentioned in the beginning, you really don't have to take into account whether you will build your application for the web or for the desktop. It doesn't really matter. During the development, you build your application. And then when the time has come to deploy it, you can choose it in a simple wizard. And there's in fact three options. Two-tier on the desktop, three-tier on the desktop, and three-tier in the browser. So two-tier is basically everything on the local machine and a database somewhere out there. This is a Silverlight out-of-browser application. That's what you've already seen me doing here. That's a Silverlight out-of-browser app that is running. Everything is installed on my machine. So that's both this client application as well as LightSwitch components. Then a three-tier desktop is actually on the client only the out-of-browser LightSwitch application, Silverlight LightSwitch application, on a remote server, the server components, and then a database which contains the data. Perhaps that's the same server. And then if you do web, well, that's basically the same, but instead of having it as a standalone Silverlight application, an out-of-browser application, you simply run it as a browser application. You can also deploy on Windows Azure, of course. The wizard, the publication wizard, or the publish wizard, allows you to deploy directly to Windows Azure. It's perfectly possible. It requires you to set up a hosted service, a storage account, and a SQL Azure account, as well as a certificate. I'm going to quickly show you how we can deploy a LightSwitch application. So, deployment. So, everything in regards to deployment is managed by a wizard, giving you all the options. I can simply right-click here and say publish. All right. So, first I can select whether or not I want this to do this on the desktop or on the web. Then I can say where the services are going to be deployed. So if I do local here, that's a two-tier, everything on the client. I can choose IIS or I can choose Windows Azure. Note that the steps are changing here. If I just do local and I follow this wizard, I'm not going to bother doing that because that might annoy you a bit. Let me show you what is actually being outputted in this case. So when I go to this one and then debug, the app publish folder contains a ClickOnce installation with my out-of-browser application and, in this case, my LightSwitch components, my LightSwitch server components as well on this machine. So this is one possible deployment option that I've shown you here. As you can see, you can do on the web and in Windows Azure as well. The final thing I want to go through with you is extensibility. I've already mentioned a few places where you can extend LightSwitch. Now, to summarize those, there are in fact six locations, six extensibility hooks of LightSwitch. The first one is custom controls. If you want to, for example, include a new control to display data, for example, a map control is the best example, I think. That's not included out of the box in LightSwitch. You can create it yourself in Silverlight. It's just a basic Silverlight custom control that you can build, and then you can install that inside of Visual Studio LightSwitch, so LightSwitch can pick it up, allowing you to use it in your applications. One thing to note here is that most of these things require you to write a bit of Visual Studio extensibility code, so VSX code, that might not be perceived as very easy. However, it's most of the times the same thing that you have to write. So you actually write an installer for your custom control to a pop-up in Visual Studio. So custom control, I'm going to show you that in just a second in action. Screen templates, we can create new screen templates. If we have a need for a particular screen inside of our organization that often comes up again, why not build a custom screen template that contains all the information already, or the layout, or whatever. We can also build custom business types. For example, if we have a specific money type that requires specific formatting or validation, use or create a new business type for that. We can also change the theme as well as the shell, the hosting shell with the navigation on the left. We can change that as well. And we can also create a new custom data source. If we want to access a specific type of database, for example, we can create our own data sources. In many cases, you are going to use a combination of those. For example, if you want to build an application that does a money market application, you may need a combination of a business type, a custom shell with some navigation that's easier depending on the type of application, perhaps some theming that is conform.
You can hear me? Yeah? All right. So as I mentioned, in most cases, you are going to have to do a combination. Perhaps so combine a business type with a custom shell and perhaps custom navigation. So in many cases, you are going to have to do a combination. Let me show you a few of those extension hooks in an example. So this is a custom control. As you see there at the bottom, it has a map control added to the page. I'm going to show you that one in action to finish off. A custom business type, combination of formatting, validation that you often have to reuse. A screen template, as you can see there at the bottom, we have two new screen templates that we can include, screens that contain a specific build-up that we can often reuse, are easier to build as a custom screen template than instead of having the user to always recreate that screen. A shell, a custom shell, including a custom navigation. You can see the one there with the arc type navigation. It's entirely possible to build your application navigation the way you want it, combined in most cases with a custom theme, custom colors, and also combined with a custom data source. So to finish off, I'm going to show you custom extensions in LightSwitch. Why did I close everything? Take this one. And so the one I'm going to show you is the map control being added or being used inside of my LightSwitch application. All right. So I'm not going to show you the code, how to actually write this, because it's a basic Silverlight code with a bit of Visual Studio extensibility. I will include it in the downloads that you can download from my blog. So we have here the publisher's screen. There we go. And when I click on one of these publishers, it is going to zoom in on the map on the address, on the location of that particular publisher, as you can see here. Now, how did I actually do that? Well, so I created a custom Silverlight control. I created Visual Studio extensibility code to install that extension inside of LightSwitch. And you can see that it's installed. Zooming in might be a bit difficult now because I need two hands for that. So you can see here that there is a Bing map control installed inside of my LightSwitch.
environment. So it can be used inside of this application. And then in the publisher's detail screen, there we go. You can see here that the main address, instead of using just a label, is now using the Bing map control to show that address, taking that address as the input and showing it on the map. This allows me to build really cool applications with LightSwitch. Of course, it requires you to write some code. And as mentioned in the beginning, it is the hope of Microsoft that a lot of custom controls, custom templates are going to be available in the future. That is probably when LightSwitch is going to be out of the beta cycle. So, with that, I would like to end this talk. I hope I've given you an overview of the LightSwitch environment, showing you how easy it is to build custom custom business applications for developers and non-developers. As you already also saw, it's easy to write code in there because of the many hooks that you get in the generated code. So writing validation, writing business code, all those things are set up for you, making it a lot easier to build business applications very fast. Also, keep in mind that LightSwitch is extendable. It's not only what you get out of the box. You can write a lot of extensions for it. And as mentioned, I hope that Microsoft really succeeds in extending this platform a lot in the future. So with that, I want to end this talk. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference. Thank you.